climb water. Choose your own adventure.
All right, mahalo. Welcome to Slime Wire Podcast, episode 2822, baby. This is your host, Triton T2, broadcasting out of Portland, Oregon, joined by my co-host. Would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
Mahalo. This is Ike Men Sensei coming at you live from Shikoku, Japan.
Shikoku. What have you been up to, dude?
Well, I'm studying for a test, which is coming up in 2 months. My students are studying for some for an English test, so I'm helping them with that. And I had a really big, party. It's called a Tsukimi party.
Was there social distancing involved? Were there masks? Was it all COVID kosher?
Oh, my party? Oh God, yeah. No, absolutely not. No,
that's fine.
Okay, I will say that my the prefecture where I live has 10 cases right now, I think. Maybe 20, something like that.
So you're good.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different situation than the U.S. where I live. So I didn't feel too bad about that. But yeah, I had a really big party. There's this abandoned hotel right by where I live. We all ended up there on the roof, and then the cops got called on us.
Oh, yeah, you told me about it. You didn't tell me the story, though. What happened?
It's a pretty open and shut case, really. We were just...
You had like, a harem of young Japanese women. And
Yes. I brought Naoko-chan up to the roof, and, you know, they were making a scene. And, yeah, so some elderly neighbors called the cops on us. It was all other English-speaking people in the area. So,
That's bizarre.
So, well, it was all English-speaking people plus this one guy, Yuki, who I met at a 7-Eleven, and he stared me deeply into the eyes and said, "I want to be your friend." And we are kind of friends now. I'm testing out this friendship. It's very tenuous, but he came. He's like this bro dude. He had a really good time. And yeah.
Honestly, if that happened to me in Portland, shit like that happens in Portland where some dude on the street will stare you down and be like, "I want to give me your number, bro. I want to like talk to you. Let's talk about music or, you know, whatever." I immediately disregard those people. They're freaks. I want nothing to do with them.
It's a much different situation in Japan because this guy is he's like 22. And he's like this bro dude who's like runs an internet business. He's like he's a weird guy, but he's a really cool guy for the most part.
Yeah, I was grocery shopping today while listening to that new Luxury Elite. And then I got home and I told my roommate about, you know, all of the crazy people on the Max, you know, the weird, strange Portlanders. And he was like, "Oh yeah, it's a lot of interesting people." And I was like, "Well, pause, you know, what does interesting mean?" Because when I hear like interesting people, that I feel like that means they're people that I want to get to know or that I want to know more about. And these people, I don't want anything to do with. I don't want to know anything about them. I want to keep my distance. Sometimes it's not possible, but so I don't know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no. I just like in this here country, it's so rare to for any Japanese person to come up and talk to you, because Japanese people are so, you know, apprehensive of speaking with foreigners, especially where I live, because I live in the middle of fucking nowhere and I'm the only foreigner out here. That like the one time it happened was like, whoa, this is a very rare occasion.
This was a Japanese guy or an American guy? Well, his name's Yuki. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, so we got the cops called on us. It was pretty uneventful. It was just an old lady called the cops on us. The cops came and they said, "We get it. We like to drink too." And they were like, "You guys are all teachers, right? So you know about, like, you know, you like to, like, shush your kids in class when they're being rowdy, right? So this is basically like that. And then they left.
Yeah, what's happening up here, fucking nobody, like, COVID's getting worse. It's, like, getting worse, like, every day.
Sure.
Recently, Portland, I guess, is the second to lowest major city in terms of infections. So yeah. Portland's going pretty well. But, yeah, there's, like, loads of people that are just, like, I just want this over with. I'm just going to pretend like it doesn't exist. And
sure.
Maybe that's what we all need to do. But I'm going to let you know what I've been up to. So I found my old clock radio, right?
Nice.
And I set it up in the kitchen, and I'm playing KMHD 89.1 FM all day, every day. And it's a it's a fun little passive-aggressive game that I'm playing with my roommate, because he doesn't like it. He hates it. But he won't tell me that he hates it, so I'm going to keep doing it. But every time but I leave it on, and then I come home and it's turned off. So I know that that he doesn't like it, but I'm going to keep doing it because it's a fun little game. Because it's a passive aggressive game.
That's a cute little game.
He won't tell me that he doesn't like it, you know. He told me he turned it down because he can hear it while he's working, but I don't believe that, because he works on the other side of the house and there's no possible way. So, you know, I think he just hates it, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Oh, that's classic Morgan right there. A passive-aggressive, audio-based torture game.
Well, it's really fun having KMHD on all the time because, you know, it's a great, like, sample source. I found many, many samples from listening to KMHD. So, yeah, getting up, you know, early in the morning or afternoon and getting ready for work, you know. Turn it up a little bit and listen to the music while you're pouring your cereal. It's been great.
Hell yeah. Oh, I miss KMHD. I think I might go find the website and stream some of their broadcasts.
It's just kmhd.org, and they have a live feed on the website. And they also have a playlist where you can see every song that they're playing.
Yeah. I've tried to access that content before, but I had some troubles with it. I can't remember why. But probably if I put some minor thought into it, I'd be able to figure it out. Anyways, shouts out to KMHD.
Shouts out to KMHD, the best radio station in Portland, definitely. 89.1 FM. If you're not on it, you're fucking up.
Oh, yeah, you're a fool.
Yeah, you're a total fool. But let's get down to brass tacks here.
Big news.
Yeah, we got big news. I was recently, as recent as today, whoa, I was contacted by the motherfucker that is the director of the upcoming Vaporwave documentary.
Yes.
Continue. So, well, let me look up what he said. So basically what happened was, I think Private Suite, so Private Suite is no more. Private Suite is dead.
We took him down.
We have replaced Private Suite. We are the better version of Private Suite.
Yeah.
But they posted something, because they were working in tandem with the people creating the Vaporwave documentary, which we talked at length about in the first episode of the podcast. Go ahead and go listen to that, episode 2815.
Yeah. Yep.
Get so, filled in. Yeah, so they posted some, who should we get in contact with to make this Vaporwave documentary? And I replied and I said, you got to get HKE, right? Like, you got to talk to HKE. Even though HKE has distanced himself from Vaporwave and, like, a lot of Vaporwave people don't like him, you can't make a Vaporwave documentary without talking to HKE, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And then they were also like, does anybody know how in the hell we can get a hold of Vectroid? So I replied, you got to get HKE, and by the way, Vectroid doesn't want to talk to you. And he was like, what do you know? What do you know about Vectroid? And so I guess I never really wanted to go into this, but I'm going to go into it. Because this does give some cred in the Vaporwave scene. I live in Portland. Vectroid lives in Portland. Vectroid is Macintosh Plus, basically the originator of Vaporwave. Now, of course, I do not know Vectroid personally, but I do know somebody that does know Vectroid.
Oh, shit.
So the story goes like this. A friend of mine was working in downtown Portland in a Japanese textile store, right?
Sure.
And on the soundtrack they were playing in the store, they were playing some new age ambience music.
Yeah.
Vectroid comes into the store, finds my friend, says, "What is playing on the speakers like right now? What is this music?" My friend says, "Oh, I don't know. I could maybe like talk to my boss and find out, but I wouldn't know for a bit. Do you want to give me like your Instagram or something? And I can tell you later."
Yeah.
Vectroid is very skittish about giving her Instagram account away. And she goes, "Oh, I don't know if you know who I am, but I'm Vectroid. You know, I'm kind of famous." Which is, I mean,
big deal.
I'm kind of a big deal, which, I mean, calm down, Vectroid. You're not that famous, first of all.
Yeah, chill.
Just chill. Like, just be cool about it. Whatever. Yeah. But anyway, so they're talking, and she's like, "Yeah, I don't know if you know who I am. I'm actually Vectroid." She's like, "Oh," my friend is like, "Oh, you're the person that invented Vaporwave." Because I had told my friend about Vaporwave. I had told them about Macintosh Plus, and I had told them about Vectroid and whatever.
Sure, sure.
Vectroid goes, "Oh, yeah, I had a part in that, but I'm embarrassed about it. I regret everything I did. and I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about Vaporwave, like, anymore."
Yeah.
And my friend, who's not a like big, like they're a casual Vaporwave fan, was like, "Okay, well, I don't care about that. Do you have something, like some sort of contact information so I can send you like what this music is?" They end up getting Vectroid. Vectroid ends up giving my friend her email and being like, "Okay, well, yeah, I'll give you my email because I don't want to give you my number or my Instagram because I'm Vectroid. I'm very famous. And we can talk and like get coffee sometime or something." Sure. For the record, Vectroid is a trans woman and my friend is like a non-binary woman. So I think they were trying to link up in that sort of way. Yeah. So my friend tells me this like a couple days later and I was like, "Oh shit, you met Vectroid. Like, you gotta introduce me to Vectroid. Like, please, 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 please." And they're like, "No, you don't get it. Vectroid's stressed. Vectroid is a very skittish individual. They don't want anything to do with Vaporwave. Like, there's nothing to gain here." And eventually me and that friend had a falling out and we no longer talk. But I do have this information that Vectroid doesn't want to talk to these motherfuckers. And so I just said, "Vectroid doesn't want to talk to you, but you need to get HKE. The guy replies, he's like, "Well, what do you know about Vectroid?" And I was like, I don't want to give him like this information. He'll listen to the podcast and figure it out. But like, yeah, so I just didn't give it the information. He ended up following my Twitter, liking the SlimeWire podcast post. And hit me up and was like, "Hey, do you want to chat about Nobody Here, the Vaporwave film?" And I didn't reply because I felt like I wanted to take this question up to you. Are we, if I agree to talk to this motherfucker about the Vaporwave documentary, are we selling out as SlimeWire podcast? Because if he listened to our first episode, I don't want to say we talked shit, but we were very critical about the Vaporwave documentary and about the whole idea of it, the amount of money being put into it.
Yes, we decried it as a step in the wrong direction for
Vaporwave. And we've like been very adamant about being like, "Fuck Private Suite," you know.
Yeah.
We are the new Private Suite.
No, you gotta talk to him.
I gotta sell out, you know? Fuck it.
Oh, right? Yeah. Absolutely sell out. It's the most Vaporwave. Everybody's doing it right now. That's the trend, right? So just fucking go. Absolutely talk to them. And you should talk to them. But I mean, like, the best way to do it would be to make sure that you get your contrarian opinions in there.
And, yeah. I can't go easy on them. I got to go hard.
Yeah.
I feel bad because this guy is from, like, Wales, and he's, like, I think he's, like, a professional documentarian. I don't think he's, like, a vaporwave dude. I think he's just some guy that has been, like, you know, not hired, but sort of, like, acquiesced to direct this vaporwave documentary, which I think was being created mostly by Private Suite, which is no longer even a thing. So maybe now that Private Suite is dead, he's coming after us because he knows that we're the next biggest thing.
Okay, yeah. He's looking for he's a vassal looking for a lord.
Yeah.
And we are the only people that can help him out. Because he was contacted by Big Vaporwave to make this thing. And now he's up the river without a paddle.
Yeah, but
he doesn't actually know about Vaporwave. This isn't his project.
I don't know that. He might actually be he might be in the know. But I don't think he is. Because if he can't get in contact with Vectroid, and I'm so many degrees of separation away from Vectroid. If I'm that one Twitter post I made was the closest he can get to getting in contact with Vectroid, that doesn't make sense. Because if he's talked to anybody from the old guard of Vaporwave trying to make this documentary, those people talk to Vectroid. Like, they know Vectroid.
Yeah.
He should be able to get in contact with her.
He's got to have a better lead.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, well, I think that, so either way, you need to talk to him, and even if, I think you need to seize on the opportunity, and he's probably just going to want to know stuff about Vectroid, or, how to get in touch with Vectroid, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to stomp that shit immediately. I'm going to say, look, I don't know. I can't listen to the podcast. I told you. I can't get in contact with Vectroid. I don't know.
Yeah, you should just come out, you should just babble incessantly about, what Vaporwave is and where it's going, and just assault him with hard takes.
I should just go in the opposite direction of every question he asks me, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you stand a chance of showing up in the documentary as an elusive and mysterious rambling homeless person that he just happened to find.
Yeah, the great thing about this is I still don't have a webcam for my computer. So
yeah, you're still anonymous.
Motherfucker can't see me. It's all audio.
Yeah, this man can't see you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you totally got to talk to him. And I think, he'll come in grilling you about Vectroid and just dismiss that right off the bat.
Be like, I don't know. I can't get a hold of her. Like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah.
Vectroid's a big person. Yeah.
No, you should just say, no, she's old news. That's not where it's at anymore.
It's all about the SlimeWire podcast, baby. It's all about SlimeWire Records.
Yeah. It's all about SlimeWire. Let me tell you something else. Yeah, and then just go off. Go ham.
What if we invited him onto the podcast?
We should. Yeah, we totally should.
That'd be pretty intense. What if we, what if we co-opted the Vaporwave documentary? The Vaporwave document, sure, go make your fucking movie. I was going to say stupid fucking movie, but I don't want to burn any bridges just yet. Go make your movie. It can be good.
Yeah.
But the more important thing is the podcast episode that this motherfucker gets on, right?
We got to get on this. We got to get this man on this podcast.
And into the real shit. You know, I want to grill a motherfucker. I want to grill somebody about modern vaporwave and say, this is where the scene has failed. This is where it's going wrong. You know,
this is where it's gone wrong. This is where it's all gone wrong.
And you are what is failing it. You are what has destroyed Vaporwave.
Yeah, so can I ask you a question? How do you sleep at night, sir? what's wrong with you? I think that we should totally do that. Get him on here. He could obviously just make this documentary about us. I think it would be a better documentary.
Yeah, they could come to my, apartment. I've got, 9 Vaporwave tapes they could show me holding them and being like, yeah, I bought this one last year and haven't really bought any more after that because I thought it was sort of a waste of money. This is the tape that I put out. You know, there's still copies available. Go run that up. But, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's my FL Studio setup. You can see I don't really know exactly what I'm doing, but.
Yeah. No, that would be wild.
I think what's like an interesting thing about the vaporwave scene is that it feels bigger than it actually is, because like recently I've been more like more like present on like vaporwave Twitter and trying to like get my name out there and stuff, and I've had like a good amount of like likes and retweets on stuff I'm saying, much more than I used to get, and enough to where this random person is like, oh, is this a guy in the vaporwave scene worth talking to? And it's like, I mean, I'm really not. Like, nobody knows who I am, you know.
Of course.
But so if that guy, if the director, if the guy that is supposed to be responsible for making the, like, the end point of vaporwave, which is the tell-all, like, after its expose documentary, after it all happened, if he's contacting me, but has yet to contact the old people in the scene that might actually have relations to Vectroid.
Yeah.
What does that fucking mean? Like,
it means that you've arrived, is what it means. It
means we're here. Well, it's not just me. You're on the ground floor of the SlimeWire Media conglomerate.
You're right. Well, I'm just riding your coattails here, baby. I'm just hitching my wagon to this rising star.
Big things are happening.
Yeah, big things going down. I think that probably if you just keep on being on Twitter, eventually you'll become a celebrity. You know what I mean?
And vaporwave celebrity, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really hard. It's really, like, there's so, like, it's such a circle jerky type of thing.
True. Yeah, but that's the thing about a scene that does not exist in the physical world, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't think any scenes exist in the physical world right now, but...
That's true. Not anymore.
Like, I don't know what's going on in hyperpop Twitter. I would love to know, but I'm not in, I don't know about that world.
Yeah.
You should get involved in hyperpop Twitter.
I should. I've been thinking about creating a branded Twitter presence.
Yeah, I feel like you could come up with some funny tweets, you know.
You're definitely.
A smart, funny guy.
Yeah. I think that like recently, you know, I'm always like 2 years late to any of these new social media movements. I know that Twitter's like 12 years old now, but like I'm trying to get on Instagram, trying to get that Instagram clout. And that's like the opposite of a social media platform that's tailored to my brand. Because
you're in Japan. You can take so many pictures of shit in Japan.
That's true. But like back in the day, all of the things that I put out on the internet were just, funny little gag tweet, you know, not tweets, but like comments and things. And that's what
Facebook was really statuses. Funny. Yeah.
Facebook status updates. Yeah. And that's what was always good for me. So I think Twitter, the text-based platform, would be the best one for me.
Facebook's kind of funny because I feel like Facebook is like completely dead. Like it's just people's parents now. Once old people got on Facebook, it really died. Yeah. But, like, you know, obviously I still have my Facebook. I don't post on it, but, like, I go look at it. And it's interesting seeing people that I, like, went to high school with or something that are, you know, their main thing is still Facebook.
And, no, it's true. It's, like, Facebook is like a old library card that's about to expire, but you still got to keep it in your wallet, you know?
Yeah. Well, even, like 4 years ago, like, Facebook groups – and Facebook memes,
they were popping
such
off.
A huge thing. Yeah,
yeah. I think,
and I don't know about the meme. I don't follow meme pages on Instagram because they're always really annoying. But I don't know where the memes are popping off anymore.
Yeah, the meme pages on Instagram, I know a guy here that tipped me off to a couple good ones, and they are just cancerous and, like, really abrasive and, like, really obnoxious because it's teenagers. It's, like, 16-year-olds that are doing them, and it's just, like, really, really gross, really disgusting. But there's a really great subgenre of meme, Instagram meme, that's going on right now that's, like, it's all memes from, like, Pakistan and, like, Iran. And it's just, like, you know, like, the Middle Eastern-type music that plays in, like, Indiana Jones movies when they're going over the desert? And it's just a woman kind of, like, scream singing, you know?
Yeah.
And throat it's just, like, singing. Pictures. Throat singing, yeah, is, I think, the correct term for that. And it's just, like, a picture of, like, a guy about to be hit by a truck. And before he gets hit by a truck, whoever makes these memes, like, draws a big circle around the guy. Like, look, look, you got to look at this guy. And then, like, an arrow towards the truck. And it's like, okay, okay. So the arrow, you see that truck? It's about to hit the guy. But there's no, like, words or anything. And then it just, at the bottom of the screen, it just says, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Like, praise Allah, because this guy was saved. And it's just, like, millions of videos like that. And it's always... Yeah, like, they always draw little circles around what's going to happen.
You got to turn me on to these meme pages. I've never heard of
them. I will send you some fucking great ones. they are really funny. And once you start, you just can't stop. But they're not, like, memes. I mean, they're not supposed to be funny. It's just, like, dudes in, like, Pakistan and, like, Iran sharing these videos of, like, miraculous things happening in the third world. And
yeah, but they're being reposted on the internet in the context of, like, a meme, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I mean, the ones that I'm following are just straight up these guys.
Okay.
Some of them are funny. Some of them are like, oh, praise Allah. But they're all, it's all great content.
Swag.
Yeah. So that's what I got to say about Pakistani meme pages. I really enjoy the internet because, like, we can right now see the ascendance of the third world, like, as in real time, because they're getting on the internet right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of their memes and a lot of their meme styles and formats and the opinions and thoughts that are expressed through those memes, you can kind of tell it's like people that haven't used the internet that much before, people that are still innocent of the internet. They're not ironic about it, you know? So it's really interesting to see.
We should do an expose on in a later episode.
We should, absolutely. I'd be down.
Yeah.
So we've gone off on a tangent here. I should remind you that I have to leave by 7 because I have to go to my adult language class.
What is 7 to me? Because right now it is 12:47 a.m.
Okay, 7 is 2:47.
2 hours from now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think we'll be fine. We don't have that much to get to. The thing that we can't ignore, right, is that Trump has COVID right now.
Oh, yeah, and another miracle bestowed upon us by Allah, Trump has gotten COVID-19.
Bro, it's a tale as old as time. It's the tale of hubris.
Yes. Hubris does not even begin to describe this. I just, like, think it would be so fucking funny.
And it's not just him. It's multiple members of the Republican Party, multiple gremlins and creeps. Chris Christie got it. Like,
yeah, dude, Chris Christie did crack cocaine. Like, he's gonna die.
Bro, I kind of like Chris Christie. not as a person, but as a character, because he's just such a, like, he's a lot like Trump because he's just an East Coast, like, fat dipshit, like, loser, you know?
Yeah.
Like, freak. Oh, yeah. Like, drug-addled maniac.
He's a frat boy, like, businessman. Like, yeah, you know, he, like, rents out big-ass limos and goes and hires a bunch of prostitutes in New Jersey and smokes crack with them.
And he's basically like, he's like Danny DeVito in It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, like, dude. He rented out a beach and then smoked crack on it.
No, he shut down all of the beaches in New Jersey because the government couldn't agree on some bullshit reform bill, and then vacationed on the beach but with his family by himself, and they were the only people on the beach. That's a goddamn yeah. savage move. And that he also like move. He fucking like fought against Trump in the primaries and then like came back to Trump like a dog, and then like tried to he tried to like fight Trump from the inside, and then that didn't work, and then he like went back to Trump again, and like the way he got it was because he was doing debate prep. That's how all of these motherfuckers got it. They had a debate prep meeting before that debate. We didn't even talk about the debate in the last episode because I don't think it had happened yet.
No, it hadn't.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, the debate and then Trump getting COVID, I feel like those are two tandem things.
Yeah, I love the idea that he's gonna, like, if he, from now on, anytime he, like, coughs in public, everybody's gonna be like, oh shit, oh my god.
Which he's gonna do all the time. He's gonna do it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, like, imagine, like, the second debate goes on without without getting canceled. And he goes up there and he just starts like coughing up a lung. And Joe Biden's like, shit, I gotta get out of here. And he runs away. You know?
It would be hilarious if both him and Joe Biden got it and both of them died. And it's like that's what you get when the only choices you give are these like
decrepit
like 99-year-old men in the midst of a global pandemic. Like
these dying, rotten,
it's, I mean,
grave stuffers.
So the thing, like, the thing with him, like, giving it to all of his constituents and stuff, like, you'd think that, like, he would be, like, on, like, in public, be like, oh, coronavirus isn't a big deal, you don't need to wear masks, because he's, like, riling his base up, but then in behind closed doors, he would be like, no, it's actually serious. I need to wear a mask. Like, I can't get coronavirus.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 75 and I'm fat as shit and all I eat is McDonald's. I'm going to die if I get it. But
I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's the message that he's trying to send.
Yeah. I mean, apparently they're that dumb that they, like, believed it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's exactly right. Like, this is not – it proves that Donald Trump is not an alien. He is all too human. And he, yeah, there's no like closet behind the scenes Trump that's like secretly worried about coronavirus. He's having a party all the fucking time, and there's no like, he's not wearing a mask in private either.
Yeah, I saw a video of Chris Christie like grabbing some at this party, like grabbing some girl by the neck and like putting his mouth right next to her face and shit. Like,
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's exactly what they do all the time, even when there is coronavirus. So like, if he died, I mean, like, also, he's not gonna die, because there's like, he's just gonna call up Xi Jinping and be like, hey, can you give me the cure? Mr. Xi is gonna be like, oh yeah, sure, buddy, and he'll send it right over.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to die, like, before the election. But it would be funny if he died right after. It would be funny if he lost and then he died right after. And all of this shit, like, all of this horrible fucking shit that everybody's been, like, focused on for the last 4 years is just sort of... just
becomes a non-issue.
Yeah, just sort of is done, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't get reelected, I think that's how it's going to be. It's going to be, everybody's going to be like, oh, well, okay. So, like, what do we move on to next? And it's going to be, we're just all going to forget about it. Have a gay old time.
I mean, I think, like, our thesis before all this stuff was that, like, even if Trump does lose, I know we've talked about this personally before, that he's never going away, right?
Like,
he'll be on Twitter, like, he'll be talking a bunch of shit, like, even if he loses.
Like,
he's never going to not be around, you know?
Yeah,
maybe he's not going to be around that longer. I mean, even if he survives COVID, like, it's going to give him, like, fucked up health effects afterwards. And he is old as shit. If he can't fucking breathe, he's not going to, like, want to be on his own television network.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there's, like, the thing you always hear about is people that get, like, severe lasting effects of COVID. And I wonder, like, I feel like at this point he's returned, like, he's definitely not on a breathing tube in a hospital. He's, you know, he's back. But, yeah, like, what if he has long-term respiratory or artery damage, you know?
Which he probably will. Like, he'll probably have some long-term respiratory shit going on.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, even if he, like, the Republican Party, even if he is sick and dying and has, like, cancer all over his body, the Republican Party will not let him just go away. Like, they'll be like, no, you fucking, like, we all staked our entire careers on electing you. You can't just, like, feel sick and then take a break. Like, you have to continue this shit that you've been doing. So, yeah.
And I don't know. He won't stop, like, no matter how sick he feels, unless he's forced to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, how long is the election? It's a month away?
Yeah, it's at the end of November.
Wild.
Yeah, it's very close. And then all the shit will be over and we won't have anything to talk about. But
yeah.
So what are your other like, say Trump, like, I'm a little bit worried about, like, them putting his consciousness into some sort of giant robot or something. Or, like,
oh, yeah.
Some sort of, like, Akira situation where he, like, he, like, blows up and starts engulfing, like, everything and explodes. And then, like, a pure young boy walks out with mystical powers and takes over the country, true. You know? The Akirafication of the world began months ago. Like, when quarantine first started, at least in Portland, there were, like, illegal drag races on these, like, fucking overpasses because there was zero traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
And, this shit is already happening.
Absolutely. They might have to reach into an alternate dimension to get Donald Trump's good version, or, like, bizarro dimension version of Donald Trump, which is, mild-mannered.
Some sort of Majin Buu scenario.
Yeah. So they go into, like, well, it'd be more like of a Superman bizarro world where everybody has mustaches, right? And Donald Trump comes and he has a mustache, but secretly, they've abducted him, but secretly he's, like, a really nice guy. Because in the bizarro world, every, like, good people are evil, evil people are good. So he's, like, a really, like, mild-mannered, like, zookeeper, or, like, a copywriter or something.
Yeah, what would and he be?
What would his good version of himself be?
Yeah, I mean, he's a reality TV star. He's a, like, realtor, real estate developer.
Oh, he'd be like a football coach. I feel like in an alternate reality, he'd be a really good, like, he would really amp those kids up.
Yeah, he'd be really fit. Yeah.
Yeah. But then at the end of the day, like, you know, he'd push them to do their best, but at the end of the day, he'd have their backs and he'd have compassion as well. And then he'd come over here and they would force him to act like a douchebag all the time. Mitch McConnell would, like, hold a gun to his head and be like, okay, you got to say some crazy shit on live TV right now. And he'd be like, no, I feel like everybody should have healthcare. That seems like a good idea. And Mitch McConnell would be like, no, you got to say that, like, Jews are, like, stupid and, like, all this shit.
You got to say Mexicans are all rapists.
Yeah. And then you'd be forced to do it. And it would be good version of Trump's nightmare reality that he would come into.
What's going on with Mitch McConnell? How come he doesn't have COVID yet?
There's too many diseases in his body already. It probably works like the elevator's full. Like, you can't squeeze COVID-19 in between, like, herpes, gonorrhea, you know, everything else. He's on his third heart at this point. So, yeah, he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Swag. What else did you think about, like, the debate? fucking, who do you think won? I've heard a lot of different thoughts about this.
Yeah, I think that, I have not for a second given any thought to who won the debate.
I think Donald Trump won.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. I think that if his goal was to basically pander to his base and to the Republican Party, like, all he has to do to keep his base on his side is just basically be strong, be like an alpha male, right?
Yeah.
And he did that. And then also projecting that strength is going to assure his, like, less devout Republican voters that he's still got it and he's still got what it takes. So, yeah, he projected an aura of confidence, you know.
I think that he didn't lose any votes in his debate performance at all. And I think with Chris Christie's great debate prep, he was able to bait Joe Biden into saying, no, I don't give a fuck about Medicare for all, and no, yeah. I want to give cops the resources they need, and I don't want to defund the police. I think he baited Joe Biden into basically losing votes.
That's true. I mean, that, like, given that the whole thing is based on just, like, image alone, that was just basically a bully, like, shoving a mud pie into a dude's face, and that guy being over and over again just like, no, no, stop, and not defending himself. Just really being pathetic and sad.
Yeah. But a lot of people were like, oh, but he told Trump to shut up, so that means he won.
It was like, yeah, that moment was like, he couldn't even, like, look him in the eyes. He kind of just, like, muttered it into the microphone and, like, cast his eyes down, you know?
Yeah.
So just, like, based on, if you had knew nothing about American politics and you watched that, you'd be like, oh, that is a strong man berating a weak, pathetic man who doesn't really want to be there. And that's really what I got from Joe Biden. It was just kind of like, I don't really want to do this. I wish I wasn't doing this right now. I want to be at home.
I don't blame him, dude. But, like, do you think anything that they said, like, mattered at all? Like, or was it just, like, old man? I don't think either of them completed a sentence the entire time.
Yeah, I don't think a single thing of substance was said whatsoever. When Donald Trump started making fun of Joe Biden's drug-addicted son and dead son, that was pretty wild. That's kind of
actually, that was, I think, the only, like, good thing that Joe Biden did when he was like, you remember that part where he was like, my son had a drug problem and he fixed it, and I'm proud of him. Yeah. I'm proud of my son. And I imagine that did speak to a lot of, like, you know, people in rural towns who their kids are addicted to heroin.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was basically the only time when something managed to connect with Joe enough for him to, like, whip his dick out and actually, like, give a shit about what was happening, you know?
And he defended his son against all odds, you know?
Yeah.
Which was sweet. I was actually kind of endeared to Joe Biden watching that. I just saw, like, I know he's a terrible person, but I did just see, like, a sad old man when I was watching that whole thing, you know?
Yeah. Sad old man with a lot of family problems. What I really thought of that debate was that it's like, watching that, it was so strange to me because it, like, everybody in that room, I think part of this is the effect of having social distancing, meaning that you can't have a crowd, and, like, a debate, and once again, this is not from any kind of policy stance or anything that, like, reasonable people tell you that you really should pay attention to in a debate. But just from the pure perspective of optics and image, which is really what is the most important thing in these debates, like the fact that you couldn't have a big stage, a big crowd there, I think really like drew part of this out. And part of it was just the fact that like nobody wanted, like, you know, it felt like like Joe Biden didn't want to be there. Donald Trump didn't want to be there. The guy, Brian O'Wallace, Wallace O'Brien.
Chris Wallace.
Chris Wallace, yeah, sure. he didn't want to be there, right?
Yeah, oh, no.
It was
no.
just like this insane, like, everybody, like, I felt like I could, like, everybody in that room was like, what is, what, like, why are we doing this? Like, what is the point of this, you know?
Yeah, we're and just watching two old men. two old men argue.
I think, like, if... And like everybody afterwards, you know, there's so much like public, you know, big news corporations being like, is there a point to debates anymore? And if I would say that that debate sort of like showed the constructedness of all of these debates and like the kind of farcicalness of these debates to a point where they kind of aren't anymore, like they exposed the lie of this whole like platform of televised debates. And if that's true, that would be like a signal of like the end of boomer politics as we know it, because that is like from the beginning, like from the first televised debate, which I'm pretty sure was Nixon versus Kennedy. Like the idea of like that the two presidents debating matters, and that primarily what matters is not so much their actual things that they're talking about, but their sort of posture and the way they present themselves, and sort of treating like a debate like a sport, you know, subjecting it to like analysis, where the New York Times is going to write an article where they talk about how one of the guys seemed really confident while the other guy didn't seem very confident, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this could be the end of all of that. And that's like a certain way of like looking, thinking about politics that has really not existed for that long. And I hope it does come to an end. And I think it would be a very good thing that it comes to an end, right? Because like, if you, like, when you read the sort of analyses of debates that come up in like the New York Times or blah, 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 it's always centered around like, they're never talking about the substance of what is actually said. It'll always be like, oh, well, Donald Trump really caught Hillary Clinton off guard when he mentioned her emails to the guy or whatever. So it's not actually about the emails. It's about the fact that he got her. You know, he caught her, he did it, and she didn't know what to do. So it's like, all of these debates are meant to be analyzing the character of the person and also their strategies of debate, kind of like a sport or like a performance, you know?
And we're entering the vaporwave world where, you know, substance doesn't matter and it's all about the aesthetic of it.
No. We're going to exit that world because this will be the end of that.
Yeah, we're exiting the substance and we're entering the aesthetic.
No. We're exiting the aesthetic and we're entering something else, baby.
Where's the substance? There's nothing. What comes after? Like, Trump has COVID. There's not going to be any more debates.
That's what I'm saying. As soon as the debates are over, the debates are more about judging the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the outward appearance and the kind of just the general tone of each individual candidate. So it's their aesthetic over their actually whatever policy they want to propose, which doesn't matter. So that's going to end. And so I don't know what comes after that.
We're exiting the vaporwave world and we're entering the I don't know what it is. It might be hard vapor. Might be hyper pop. Who knows?
It could be hard vapor. I mean, there's like before the TV happened, like most people never saw the presidential candidates, right? Most Americans saw them. So they viewed presidential candidates as a collection of ideas reflected in like pamphleteering that went on in the town square or whatever.
Yeah, that's the original like reason that the Electoral College exists. Was because the proletariat was not educated enough to make the decisions. Because they can't fucking hear the people. They don't know what they're saying.
Yeah, but well, like, you know, they would read, like, every election there would be like things printed in like newspapers and like pamphlets that would fly around. But that's primarily how potential voters knew and understood those candidates, right?
Yeah.
Not as a person. Not as like, oh, Donald Trump, he's like an asshole, dude. He's like a dick. You know, they didn't know a single thing about like George Hoover's character, you know, as a person. They just knew stories they read in the newspaper and like flyers that were put out by the various political parties. So we might see a return to that, where you get, instead of a debate, you get like a Reddit ask me anything for each candidate, and he just replies to you in the chat forum. You don't got to see his face for that, you know? Yeah.
All right, well, that's a poignant point to make and a good place to leave this section, right?
Sure.
Unless you have anything else to say. We've been going for 50 minutes. What time do you have to leave?
7 p.m.
So that is, how long from that is now?
Oh, I'm sorry. That is, well, it's 2 hours from now, but I have to like get ready and leave by 6:30 to get there at 7. So it's an hour and a half away.
Okay, that's fine. All right, well, let's take a short break. I want to run to the store really quick, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of time.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll be right back.
Slime water. Choose your own adventure.
All right, I'm back. Are you there?
Here he is.
Sorry. I was stuck behind an old meth addicted woman with a big stack of lottery tickets that she had to deal with, and there was but one lone Hispanic man trying to deal with it and bring other people up and answer the phone, but it's all over now. I got out of that situation. I'm back.
We're back, baby.
All right. So this is the culture aspect. It's the culture portion of SlimeWire podcast. Very important part.
Moving on to the culture.
Yeah. Did you want? So we have two things to get to. First, we have a non-vaporwave thing, the South Park pandemic special, which is kind of funny that we're covering that, and then also the new luxury elite release, High Society. What did you want to touch on first, PK Man Sensei?
Well, let's go to the non-vaporwave first, and then the very vaporwave thing second.
All right. So,
like, for as little as the South Park pandemic special is vaporwave, the luxury elite album is very vaporwave enough to compensate for.
Yeah, I feel like the South Park pandemic special. It's a bit ridiculous that we're doing this, but it's not completely out of our lane, and it's not completely not vaporwave. I think we are young. Well, we're in our mid-20s. I'm 26. Yes. You're 27, correct?
Yeah. I'd say I'm in my late 20s. I'm about to be 28 in 3 months, but let's not talk about that.
Okay, well, but we grew up with South Park, and for the political aspect of our show, we grew up, like, I grew up thinking that South Park was always spot on their politics. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And as I've gotten older, the show has gotten so, so bad. And it's made me rethink all of the previous South Park that I used to love so much and realize that it really wasn't ever all that good to begin with. And their politics have always been sort of weird. And sometimes they can be poignant and sometimes it can be really far off base. But so what did you think about the pandemic special?
So just tone wise, I thought that if I had been about 19 years old when the pandemic special was released, I would have thought it was really funny and really cool and a nice return to form for the South Park brand. I like how it just kind of picked up really quick and had a funny little inside joke about how nobody really wants a special, a self-referential, fourth wall breaking joke.
Yeah, a meta aspect, which has been growing in the South Park canon for many years. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I thought, the whole gag about how he's got the pandemic special going on and nobody really wants to, it's not the right time for it. It was pretty funny, and I liked all of the plot beats, and I thought they were funny. Nothing actually made me laugh, not even once.
Yeah, but I didn't. I was not, I was watching it on my phone, and I don't think I, laughed physically at all. Yeah.
No. But I liked, the concept that Randy is the one who caused the pandemic was kind of funny to me. You know, it was just a very, of course, that's how they would do it. And I thought that was pretty funny. The gag about the diapers on your face, how they were calling them face diapers, every time that Butter's dad talked about the masks was not funny to me.
Yeah, I didn't get it. And I know that obviously South Park is known for they make an episode in a week, right? And
yeah.
So the pacing is usually off because they're by the end of the week, they're talking about something else, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a joke at the beginning that didn't really pay off at the end at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I thought it was a little bit weird. I felt like they were sort of playing both sides the whole time. But what were you going to say about
it? I don't think there was any strong political message to the whole thing, really.
You know? I feel like there was supposed to be, originally, I think that was their idea, but then I think they sort of played two sides, too hard. When they had the, so they have, the cops replacing all the teachers, right?
Yeah.
And they have the whole, the cop, obviously they're, playing up that the cops are, ridiculous and that they have them smiling when they're holding guns and stuff, and it's supposed to be a statement about how cops are stupid and they're dumb bro guys, but I thought it was they didn't besides the I guess Token did get shot, but they didn't really reference the Black Lives Matter movement at all beyond that, and they didn't they didn't really say anything about police brutality in this at all beyond just being cops are stupid bros.
Yeah.
Which is completely true. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the, that was another thing that I watched where I was where I thought to myself, this is funny. And then I didn't laugh at it at all and received no joy from it, was just the idea that, cops just love to murder people. They're not doing it on accident. They just like doing it. You know, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, and then they related the cop killing the black kid, and then they did the whole COVID-related death joke, where they oh, he died related to COVID, but he didn't really die from COVID. So that's a very right-wing, political statement, right?
Yeah.
But then also the fact that the cops killed this black kid, that's like a left-wing political statement. And so I'm saying about, like, they were playing both sides and neither thing came up. Like, neither idea was fleshed out well enough to make any sort of statement at all.
Yeah. I think that, like, some of their best political statements are the ones where they're able to get to the idea that it's not so much the, like, politician's fault as it is just, you know, South Park, of course, being a metaphor for the United States. Like, the town is a microcosm of the United States. Usually that's how they, like, play it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the episode where they, where the Walmart comes to town, and there's a Walmart, and everybody's mad that it's taking away small business, but the moral of that episode was that it's the individual actions of all of the people of South Park that are actually causing this, right? It's not really so much a political thing as it is like a moral thing within a community. And it was the same thing about, like, they had the episode after the financial collapse where, you know, the they're all talking about, like, the economy, like it's like this religious thing. And then Kyle
takes like on everybody's debt like a Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, like, that was another thing of, like, I think that's a very astute, and that is one thing where I am rarely, like, I do agree that that is something that transcends, like, left or right politics, because it's just the small individual actions of people that bring things like giant corporate stores ruining businesses about, right?
Yeah, there's also that episode about Starbucks where, like, Starbucks is choking out the small coffee business. And then I think the moral at the end of that episode is that, well, Starbucks has a good product and people want to, like, go to Starbucks because it has a good product. So there's nothing wrong with that. Or maybe that the idea is that it's wrong that people want this good product. Or, I don't know. It's bizarre.
Yeah. But, like, I think that, like, this episode was, like, leaning towards the idea that, like, something like that was going to happen. Like, the idea that Randy was the one that brought it over, that brought the coronavirus over. And, like, when they were having the town hall meeting on Zoom with all of the parents, and they were all just super pissed off and, like, arguing and bickering and stuff, I think that was, like, leaning towards some kind of social commentary where it was the same thing, where it was like the reason that you can't have your kids go back to school is because you all
can't agree.
And you're all making self-interested choices that and
oh shit, you just froze. Can you
really?
Yeah, here. What last thing you said was you all can't agree.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, you froze, and then the last thing you said was you all can't agree, talking about the parents. And then you froze, and I didn't hear anything after that.
But you can hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. Coming in crystal clear, buddy.
Okay. So the whole thing was that it was the parents all arguing and bickering because they're trying to make self-interested choices. Which means because they're all trying to make the same self-interested choice, it ends up resulting in a situation where nobody can get what they want. And I thought that this episode was going to lean into more of that type of thing, and it could have been good, but it didn't really get into that very much.
Maybe we can lean into it. I remember... the whole, like, the character of Stan in that whole episode as being, like, the person that's pretending to be strong, right? But that but secretly just wants it all over with. I feel like that has a lot of, like, when they were talking about mask shaming And that's really what they were talking about with the chin diaper thing.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like, at what point do you, like, look at somebody who, like, isn't wearing a mask and you don't, you stop getting angry with them for not doing it and, like, realize that they're, like, struggling with this whole situation just like you are, but they're, like, handling it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked the, yeah, I thought Stan was a good, like, the idea of somebody who is totally in denial about their own emotions in response to the whole thing.
I feel like he was the best, that was the best, like, character motivation throughout the whole thing, because I feel like I actually witnessed that scenario in real life all the time.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Constantly you're witnessing, like, here at least, you're witnessing people that just want to pretend that it's all over. And just like, you know, now that the bars are open and they can be open till 10, it's like, okay, well, it must be fine that I can go to the bar and I can do whatever I want. And now I can go to Disney World and, like, nothing bad is going to happen. But in reality, bad things are going to happen if you do those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And nothing's changed. But, like, the fact that we collectively agree that everything has changed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, like, the just the idea that somebody, that Stan's reaction to it was as usual for him, is to, like, be, like, a leader and, like, be, you know, reassuring to people and thinking that he has, like, this goal that he's gonna help save everybody, but then it's actually his own emotions that he's trying to deal with. Was pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what the creators were feeling, because that felt like the most fleshed out, like, part of the whole thing. Because everything else was sort of like, I don't know. There was a good joke. I thought, like, the best part of it was in the beginning, when he was actually, like, announcing the pandemic special.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And he had, like, that throwaway line about the people that, like, started the business in
which, I
mean, this is stupid, but in, like, South Park lore, right, isn't SoPaw's, like, it's the Portland gentrified neighborhood of South Park. And the idea is that, like, if you started a business in that neighborhood, it, like, immediately fell and
was shut down
because of COVID. And that's very, very true. And I thought that was really funny. And that's really extremely, like, Portland, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, like I worked at a place that was very, like, a gentrified, hip sushi restaurant. And it's totally done, totally shut down forever.
Bamboo is shut down.
Yeah, Bamboo's shut down. They were doing like online orders, but I'm pretty sure they were either shut down for a while or they're shut down forever now. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but
damn.
Yeah,
I'll have to walk by. I have to say, last night I took a walk around downtown Portland at night, and it was pretty like disheartening. Like, it's really, like, a different place than it was when we first, like, moved there. Like, everywhere is really closed and there's nobody walking around, and there's everything is, like, shuttered with plywood and stuff, and it was really sort of weird and creepy and kind of sad, basically.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too good.
Yeah, so if you come back to Portland, it's not the same place. It's not the same place at all.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been I've been thinking about what I'm gonna do in about a year's time, and it's a wild thought to think.
We're moving to Brooklyn together, you and me, buddy.
We're going to Brooklyn. No, no, I'm probably gonna stay here. But I was thinking about what would happen if I did go back, and it's just wild.
Yeah, that's depressing. Well, did you think it was good? Did you think that South Park episode was good? Did you think it was bad? Did you think it was wrong? I think it was bad and wrong for them to do.
No, I think it was okay. It was whatever. I don't know. I thought it was kind of on point.
I feel like if they... Yeah, it was kind of on point. I feel like if they had stopped, like, years ago, and then they sort of did this one-off thing, it would be kind of cool. But the fact that it's just, like, a continuing corpse that's just, like, shambling, and that it's just, like, gotten worse and worse and worse. Sort of rubs me the wrong way. South Park is... It's impossible to put it into the vaporwave canon because it never ended, you know?
You're right.
It has to end for anybody to have any sort of nostalgic connection to it.
Yeah. So, those kind of things. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. People have a nostalgic connection to the old Simpsons seasons, but like, you know, the new Simpsons is such a different beast. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah, it's just not. It's not possible to have much nostalgia for South Park. I don't know why.
I think it's because it's like it's never like it. Looking back, like there were like obviously there's like really great episodes looking back on it, but yeah. I think it was always sort of bad, and it just sort of like this new shit just makes it like clear that it was always sort of bad to begin with, and they're like sort of doing the same jokes over and over again. I don't know.
Or it could be that your tastes are maturing and you're becoming a man.
That's
childish trifles are beneath you.
That still means it was still bad, though, because my objective truth is still the same. That means that my previous tastes were wrong, and now I'm correct, you know. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does. Deeply.
All right, well, fuck that, dude. Fuck. We shouldn't have even talked about it.
No, it was good. It was good. I'm glad we did.
All right. Well, yeah, it was sad and depressing.
It was very sad and depressing. It's
a depressing thing to go into. But
okay, my last thing I got to say about it is that I liked the Randy Marsh storyline. I really liked that they made it. When they revealed that it was Randy Marsh that brought coronavirus to America
by fucking a bat.
I thought, aha, of course. And then the fucking bat thing, I thought, yeah, this is theoretically funny.
But it didn't make me laugh.
You know.
Well, that's just sad.
Yeah, damn shame.
Well, what about that Luxury Elite, though? That the new, brand new Luxury Elite has been out of the game, dude. And Luxury Elite is an old guard vaporwave artist. Some classic vaporwave shit. Back with a new album called High Society.
High Society.
What did you think about that?
So when I first listened to it, I was like, damn, this is going to be Morgan's cream dream. It's like literally like...
Such a classic. Banger after banger.
Yeah. So I really liked it a lot. I liked it for precisely the reason that it was banger after banger. Like, it seemed like he was coming back. Or she?
She.
Was coming back with their...
Luxury Elite is a woman, yes.
Yeah, just one for the old heads, you know, just one for just a classic thing for just people that want slowed down 80s sample based music. And so I really like
that. I love that she didn't try to do anything else, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, it knew exactly what it was going to be. There were not even any really like tonal shifts throughout the entire album. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't like an ambient thing. There wasn't a thing.
Oh, no.
I don't think there was a single song that sampled anything past 1995, you know?
I don't think there was even a vocal sample in the whole thing.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure there wasn't. So I really liked, and I think we've talked about this before on the show, that like, I just respect any album that's just like, okay, let's just make like 10 fucking slaps. Put it on an album, and that's what the album is. We don't got to pretend that it's any kind of thing. It's just, let's just make 10 songs that are going to be some bangers. Put it on there.
Yeah, it's not conceptual.
Yeah, it's just a collection of delicious, tasty singles. I really liked that. And I liked the very minimal, but like effective, like chopping and screwing. Like really the only thing that they did was slow it down and chop it up. But the way they chopped up some of the songs was so good and like affected like the structure of the song, you know?
Yeah, I love listening to a track and like realizing what they did and being like, oh, I could do that. Like, I know exactly, like, they repeated this part four times and then they repeated this part four times.
Yeah, yeah, and then they kind of let it go for this part. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really good. What were some of the tracks that stood out to me? I really liked Another Scorcher and then Polo Harlequin.
Polo Harlequin, yeah, was really good.
Yeah, yeah. And
I really liked Benny to Oceanus, the fifth track.
Yeah.
Is that a sample of a Michael Jackson song?
There were those synths in there, and I don't think that was a Michael. I know which Michael Jackson song you're talking about.
The one that's like
Baby Be Mine.
Baby Be Mine.
Classic. Thriller. Yeah. And I don't think that was it, but I think it was probably some 80s song that took inspiration from it. Because like the way all of these, I mean, the production on this fits too well together. Like you'd be able to tell if they were overlaying two samples on top of one another, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's all just one sample that they're chopping up. And, yeah.
Yeah. High Society. That's the seventh track.
High Society.
The title track. Great.
Yes. Totally. And this is just perfect music for just like sitting back and chilling, you know?
Yeah. So I listened to it tonight when I was grocery shopping. So I got the full experience. I listened to it on the train and then I listened to it while I was walking through Winco grocery shopping. And then I was still listening to it when I walked out of Winco and I could smell the Carl's Jr. Two blocks away. So I, you know, it was the perfect amalgamation of American culture, American consumer culture, in my face as I listened to it. It was very good.
Oh yeah,
I remember an early HKE interview when he was still just Hong Kong Express. He was like, "I make the Hong Kong Express albums because I want to make like a romantic." Sort of thing about Chinese culture, because I wouldn't make an album about romantic American culture because Luxury Elite has already done that so well, you know.
Nice.
And
nice.
Luxury Elite does it again, like every fucking time.
Yeah, she brought it out. She knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. What were some of the? So, I really liked Executive Suite just because of. Just bass line, you know, it's just a drum and a bass line, and I'm always a big fan of that. I really liked Polo Harlequin. What was the other one that I really liked?
I really liked perfume commercials, the second track.
Oh, yeah. Another Scorcher was a good one for me just because it has these really abrasive sounding.
So good.
Yeah, and I think that like one thing that really like she has a way of just taking these samples and putting it. It's like a tune that just barely sticks in your head. You know, it's not like something that you. Could remember enough to hum on your ride to work.
Yeah.
If you were listening to it, but it just sounds like just catchy enough to kind of stick in your head for maybe a minute after you're listening to it. It sounds like something that should be really catchy, but isn't.
I think she samples like, and this is like, also there's no vocal samples on this. I think she samples like the beginning of songs. Like the intros. Really?
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And then before they kick into the actual song, you know, and she just lets those play out for the whole 2.5 minutes or whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah, no. Big fan of this. Yeah, that's really all. That's really all I had for it. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, our culture portion today is not what it usually is.
Yeah, you're right.
We don't have four albums to review.
Well, but, I mean, we don't got to do any of this bullshit. You hit it big, and we're about to be the executive producers of the Vaporwave documentary.
Bro, we're about to be the directors of the Vaporwave documentary.
Yeah, this guy's going to come crawling to us.
On his knees. Say,
you're the last true voice of Vaporwave.
You're the vanguard of the old scene.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
We are that.
Yeah. You know more than anybody about this topic, and I'm up shit creek without a paddle if you don't help me out here.
Yeah, and I can't even figure out how to get in touch with Vectroid. I've talked to all of them. They can't help me. You also can't help me, but you this is the closest I've ever gotten.
Yeah.
These guys, the SlimeWire podcast brothers, you know.
Yeah. A shutdown city. An infected world, a hunt for an elusive producer.
Where is he?
Where'd they go?
Which train do I have to catch?
Yeah, you're going to be catching the train all the way.
Oh, my God. I need to
Vapor Town.
Yeah, I need to buy some Vaporwave clothes or something. I'm just gonna rock the Adidas tracksuit. I've got a full tracksuit, by the way.
Yeah,
I figured.
Oh yeah, yeah. You told me, and yeah, I mean, I cannot believe that it took you this long.
I had to build the confidence to wear it. You know, you can't just go. I had to build it up.
The clothes make the man, Morgan. You put on the tracksuit and it gives you the confidence.
I'll say in my new neighborhood, I live in Far East Portland. There are a lot more, I don't know if I should say it. There's a lot more people wearing full tracksuits out here. That's all I'm going to say. And you can put two and two together.
But, Yeah.
I ain't dealing with no soccer moms anymore.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, you're not out of your element at all. You fit right in. I think the best case scenario is that this Vaporwave documentary, basically what needs to happen is that it starts out as it's basically like a meta documentary where he's like, I was going to make a documentary about Vaporwave, but I couldn't find anybody, and it turned into an elusive, quixotic quest to get any sources. But here is my bizarre journey down the rabbit hole.
Well, what happened is he had all these sources, all these people, they jumped at the bit to be a part of the Vaporwave documentary. He talked to them and realized there was no substance there. They had nothing. All they said was, yeah, I like the playlist that I found on YouTube 3 years ago. You know? And then he found the guy. He found the motherfucker that archived hundreds of Vaporwave albums.
Yeah.
And lived the lifestyle. I can't wait to tell him about the Vaporwave Papa Murphys. You know.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, so it's going to start out as an attempt to make a comprehensive Vaporwave documentary, but then it's going to turn out into like a personal travelogue of his story trying to make the documentary, right?
Yeah.
It'll be like what happened on the way and his journey down the rabbit hole into this elusive world that may or may not even exist.
Then he found the SlimeWire podcast and he listened to it and he realized he was a fool. It was a fool's errand. It was all wrong from the beginning.
Yeah. And the new title of this documentary is going to be called In Search of Vaporwave, The Morgan Folkers Story.
That's right, bitch. I've lived the Vaporwave life. Come at me.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
In Search of Vaporwave. So I just realized that I've doxed you, so you might want to blur that out.
That's all right. I don't really care. But it's all good. I'm not changing anything in post. I've said that since the first episode. It's never happening.
Absolutely. I think the most vaporwave thing that could happen at the end of this vaporwave documentary is that he listens to this podcast, and then you say, I don't really care. And he realizes that nobody actually cares about the anonymity aspect of vaporwave. Nobody really cares about
vaporwave. I do. Well, slightly, but I mean, not enough to edit a podcast, but I do care, but maybe I don't. I don't know. I'm dealing with that myself, but yeah.
Damn. Wild. Yeah, this vaporwave thing, it's an elusive beast.
We don't know. We don't, like, we came into this thinking we had all the answers, and I'm not sure we have any of them.
Yes, absolutely. I'm more confused than ever.
Yeah, but it's important that we continue on our quest to understand not only, like, vaporwave, but the world through vaporwave.
The lens of vaporwave.
Yeah.
Is it alive? Is it dead? Is the world alive? Is the world dead?
Long live the world. But
yes.
I think this is a very important episode, you know. This is the first episode that motherfucker's probably going to hear. He's probably jumped around in the first couple, but this is the important one. This is the one where we call you out by motherfucking name, director of the Vaporwave documentary. Come talk to me. Come talk to me, bitch. You don't know Come what I'm going to say. You don't know Come what I'm going to say. Come on the podcast, bitch. We're gonna shut this shit down.
Yeah,
but
am I even in Japan? Who knows?
Who knows? I'm in Kansas.
Yeah, I'm in a town called Japan, and it's in Maine.
All right. Enough is enough.
I think that about wraps that up.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to say tonight to the people?
Nothing else except long live vaporwave and long die. The world.
Long live vaporwave. Sayonara. Long die of the world. Sayonara. And SlimeWire, even if vaporwave is dead, SlimeWire will always be here. SlimeWire will prevail, and SlimeWire will always be with you.
SlimeWire will go on.
It will go on. Sayonara.
And a sayonara. Yeah.